Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How Does God Want Us to Look at Our Past, Present, and Future?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, today, since it is the new year and we're entering into 2026, starting that one and leaving behind, and we have left behind 2025, I thought today would be a great day for us to take a look at time. Having a Christian right perspective on the past, the present, and the future, what God wants for us. On that view. Because, you know, if you don't have a right view of the past, the present, and the future, it can completely mess up your life. A lot of people have a bad view of the past, it destroys their present, and they fear the future, and it's a mess. But if we have a right view, a Christian view, from the scriptures, from the Holy Spirit, of the past, the present, and the future, how blessed and happy are you? You have a right view that God gives you, and He wants you to have a right view today as we go into 2026. So let's take a look today at time, past, present, and future, and what God teaches us in the scriptures that we might be excited, peaceful, free, and blessed people as we head forward into this year. So let's take a look at that today, and what can we say? Well, let's start out with the past, okay? We all have a past, and I'd like to start out with a joke. I don't usually have jokes or start out with jokes, at least unplanned, but this one's planned. Because you remember Stephen Wright? Anybody remember him from the 1990s? Very off-the-wall, screwy, eccentric kind of comedian. Very dry, and he said once, you know, whenever I think about the past, it sure brings back a lot of memories. It's true though, isn't it? We can think about the past, we all have a past, and we can think about it a lot. A lot of people spend a lot of their time thinking about the past, and you can actually get stuck in the past. Do you get stuck in the past sometimes, thinking about yesteryear, the things that were gone previously in time, water under the bridge, and draw that into your present? Well, what are some wrong ways we can be stuck in the past? Well, there's two specific ways you can be stuck in the past. Number one is you can be wistful and think, oh, the past, it was so great, it was so wonderful. When I was younger, everything was brighter and more cheery and more happy. And boy, I sure love to go back to that because my present, and especially my future, seems so much darker than my past. Oh, if only I could go back. Then you have people getting also living in the past and their present by looking back. Some people have abuse or pain in their past, which haunts them and troubles them in the present, or they have sins in the past for which they still feel guilty, guilty, guilty every day as they go forward. So there's two options. You can be wistful, or you can feel it was a bad experience in the past and be haunted by it. But then there's a third option. We can take a look at the past and say, okay, there was good in it, there was bad in it, but I'm moving forward and going into the future. So there's a little bit of each of these, I'm sure, in all of us. Which one are you? Which one characterizes you? Which one would you like to be? Option door number one, door number two, or door number three? Let's take a look at these in a little more detail and see what God teaches us about them by His Word. First of all, let's consider looking back wistfully. Do you guys do that, by the way? Hopefully not, but maybe you do. I mean, I know I do. I have to say to my shame, sometimes I'm like, man, I've got so many things on my plate, and the present is so, oh, so much to do, and in the future, oh, I don't know. And I think back to the past, like, man, when I was 18, 19, I was free. I had no cares. I went sailing, I had adventures, I went skiing, I traveled, I did this, I did that. So all my family was alive, you know, all these things of the past. And you can tend to be wistful and almost want to go back to the past as if that were the golden age that we should be aiming towards. Is that a good way to go? Is that what God wants? Why? Well, let's take a look at the Bible here. Ecclesiastes 7, I'm going to chuck these at you. Oh, got to keep you awake. Let's see if it's good to look to the past according to God. Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon, and his wisdom says, "Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it's not from wisdom that you ask this." Oh, the former days, those were so much better. God says, that's not a wise thing to say. Why? Because frankly, they weren't better. You just think they were. Right? Ecclesiastes 1, Kevin.
He has to be able to see it.
When you can catch this, you can eat. That was Karate Kid, right? Or Kung Fu. Okay. Why were the former days not better than the present ones? Well, Solomon says, all things are full of weariness. A man can't even utter it. Says, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It's been already in the ages before us. There's just no remembrance of the former things. Nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to happen amongst those who come after. You think the former days were better than the present ones, but really, they weren't. If you could go back, you could see they were just as bad as your present. Or the same, anyway, as they are. Now, does God want us to look back the past wistfully and wish to go back? Is that a Christian attitude? No, he says. That's not my people. Come on, put that away from you. We read in Mark 9, I can't read my writing. Jesus says, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Right? You don't want to look backwards, especially back to sin. You can't drive a plow straight if you're looking back this way. You're going to be all over the place. You can't go right if you look backwards. Take a look at Luke 17. I'm throwing lots of them at you here, Kevin. Oh, okay. He's learning. Jesus says about the coming of the Lord, he says, it's going to be like on the day when Lot went out from Sodom and fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let him who was on the housetop with his goods in his house that said, etc., not come down to take them away. Let him who was in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? Her path was to be straightforward, but she turned and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look back, God says. My path for my people is forward into the future. Who else looked into the past in the Bible? How about the whole people of Israel? They left Egypt. There's slavery and Pharaoh and death behind them. They're heading to the promised land. We're marching to Zion, and they looked back as soon as they found their first giants and their first troubles. No, those onions, those leeks, the garlic of Egypt was so much better than where I am now. My past was better than my present, and I'm dreading my future. That only annoyed and angered God, and it was not to their benefit. It actually destroyed them to look backwards and think onions and garlic in slavery is better than the promised honey and milk that's before them. There's promised honey and milk before you, friends. Ahead of you. Don't look back to the past. That's just onions and garlic. It's no good. Demas was a man in the Bible who looked back. He traveled with Paul for a while. And then it says, Paul says later on, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. He went back to his past and to the world. Peter says, if you do that as a Christian, you're especially going back to sin, you're like a dog returning to its own vomit, and as a pig is washed only to go back into the mud, quoting the Old Testament Proverbs, says Peter. And Hebrews 10 says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and keep their souls. So remember in Pilgrim's Progress, if you've read the book, at one point Christian, he's marching on his way to the celestial city, but he has to face a great and terrible demon called Apollyon. And he stands there, that foul fiend from hell, breathing, bellowing smoke, and Christian's afraid to go forward. But as he considers this, he considers turning and running back to the city of destruction. He remembers that God has only given him armor to go forward against his foes. He turns his back. There's no armor for your back. you should be slave. Right? God has not given us anything to protect us if we turn around, turn back, and go home. If we go forward, we have divine armor that will assail and prevail over all of our enemies. The path for the Christian is forward. Say the word forward.
Forward.
We are called to run for the goal, the kingdom of heaven that is before us. So don't look back wistfully. How about the second part of that, though? You can get stuck in the past if you dwell on it all the time and remember the past as something that abused you or that you had sins. And they haunt you in the present with guilt, guilt, guilt. You experienced that? Look back at your previous life and you're like, oh, how could I have done such things? Or, boy, I was sure abused as a little kid. And how many doctors do you go to, or people go to, a psychologist? Well, I think the problem with you is that you had a lot of abuse when you were a child, and that is why you cannot have any good in your present life. It's all about your past, right? You're haunted by it. You can't escape. It's the ball and chain. Is that the way God wants you to live, by the way? If you were abused in the past, that should forever haunt you? Doesn't he come to set us free from that? Redeem those things? Use them to catapult you to be a minister to people who are also abused, maybe? How about if you have sin? Wrong choices in the past, evil actions and deeds that you're still ashamed over in the past. Does God want you to have a ball and chain on that forever and look guilty in the present? Is that what Jesus came for? Jesus came, look, to set you and me free. Free from your past. Free from that ball and chain so that you, without those chains, can run forward to the kingdom. Think about some of the sins of your past you're ashamed of. But John 8, Jesus meets a woman who's an adulteress. She was caught in it, and nobody argues that. She doesn't argue it. Woman, has no one condemned you? Remember, cast the first stone, etc. Not no one, sir. Neither do I condemn you. Go and don't sin again. What's that? He's setting her free from her past, saying now, go forward into the future and don't do that again. Right? So, set you free. How about Luke chapter 7? Remember that woman was at Jesus' feet, weeping, washing his feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair, so torn up over her past, how horrible it was. And Jesus says, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. In other words, get up. Say the word get up.
Yeah.
Does God say get up to you? Get up! I came to get rid of those old sins for you. I died for those sins on the cross that you be a free people. They should not be haunting you anymore. Get up. There was a paralyzed man that was let down through the roof into Jesus' midst. And to show that he can forgive sins, he says, watch this. Rise, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go home. Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. So look at that once again. He takes someone who had a bad past, haunted by them, even paralyzed, and he says, you are forgiven, rise, get up, let's go forward into a new life. So don't let your previous sins destroy you. If you come to Christ, confessing and repenting of your sins, calling in him as your Lord and Savior, believing he died and rose for you, then if the Son sets you free, you will be free, indeed. Free from your past, wouldn't you love that? Are you believing these words today? Are you like, oh, that sounds good, but I wish it were for me? Well, it is for you. God says, right now, come to me. Let me forgive those things, take them off of you, and don't let them haunt you anymore. My blood has taken them from you. Psalm 25, David says, remember not the sins of my youth, or my many transgressions, the sins of my youth, but according to your steadfast love, remember me. By thy goodness' sake, O Lord. God says, I do. Get up, let's go in freedom. Paul ravaged the church, even to the murdering of Christians. And yet, he wasn't haunted by his past. He was ashamed of it, but he says, look, God says, get up, Paul. On the road to Damascus, I'm sending you away to now preach my salvation to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles. And Paul confessed, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Look, see, behold, the new has come. Are you feeling free? confess your sins, call on Christ, let him forgive you, believe that he's forgiven you, let it go. No more hauntings. I choose door number 3. How about this? As Christians, acknowledge that you have good and bad in your past, and give thanks to God for the good. Praise God. I thank you for all those wonderful blessings. For the evils, I praise you that you've taken all these things away, and now let's go forward. And you can look into the past in this sense. Look back into the past and remember God's faithfulness to you. David, when he was facing his new giant, Goliath, he says, but I remember in the past that I fought a lion before, I fought a bear before, and this Goliath in the future shall be like one of those. So you can draw strength. God's been faithful then. He was faithful again. He's going to be faithful this time too. That's a good use of the past. Amen?
Amen.
Another good thing to do then is to remember that if you did have great sins in your past, as we all have, well, then that only means you're going to love them the more in the future. And now, because Jesus says of that sinful woman, Luke 7, the one who's forgiven just a little bit is only going to love me a little bit. But the one who is forgiven a lot is going to love me much. If you have a lot of sins in your past, that just means that, hey, praise God, you've covered all of those. I can love them all the more. And the people that had the worst sins in their past end up usually being the most on fire, zealous, fruitful Christians because they're like, man, if you save me from that, the rest of my life is yours, Lord. I love you. Praise be to God for your mercy. That's the right attitude concerning our past. So don't look back wistfully. Don't look back and be haunted by it and stuck in it or by the abuse there. Let him redeem those. Set you free. You're like a ship at the port. If you're going to sail off into the ocean in the wide blue, then you need to cast off those dock lines. God says, cast them off. I set you free. Now, let's go forward. Sound good? I've covered the past. How about the present? What's a right, godly, Christian view of the present? The answer is, live in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The present is a present or a gift of God to you. He wants to live with you and walk with you in it now. Is that really true? Is that what the Bible says? Should we live with God in the present moment, forgetting our past, putting it behind us? Well, Matthew 6. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor about your body, what you should put on. What is he saying? What are those things? Fears of the future. Don't be worried about your food. Don't be worried about your clothing. How are you going to make this and that happen? He goes on. He says, that's not what life's about. Look at the birds. They neither sow. I think I put the thing on there. There we go. That's better. He says, look at the birds. They're not anxious about the future. They're not gathering into barns. They don't feel like they have to store anything up for their future. Your heavenly Father feeds them every day, and I want the same attitude to be for you because you are more valuable than many birds. You're going to trust me for the future? Live in the present like the birds do. I also clothe all the grass of the field, O you men of little faith. Instead, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. My dad quoted that verse in the King James a lot of times. Sufficient unto the day be the evil thereof. You got a lot of trouble today? You got evil today that you have to face in your life? Jesus says, let today's trouble be enough. Don't worry about tomorrow. We'll take care of that tomorrow. Just deal with today. That's God's will, according to Matthew chapter 6. And it's a beautiful thing to live in the present. God. It's the only place you can really enjoy Him. God's not living in the past. He's kind of ahead of you in the future, beckoning you on, but He's living with you in the present moment. Jesus says, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. I will be with you, but I am is a present type of thing. I am here with you now. Walk with me in the present moment. That's God's will for you. As he led Philip, go up and join this chariot, and then preach to this guy this. He got his instructions in the moment. In Matthew chapter 10, when they bring you up to councils and governors, and you have to bear testimony, don't even be anxious about what you're going to say in the future when you get there. For I will give you what you need to say in that hour, on the spot, on the fly, as we go through the present moment together. I'll give you your words. The Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our bread for the next 60 years and we'll be happy. Is that what I'm saying? Let us store up barns in the future that we may take our ease, eat, drink, and be merry. No, what's it say? What's it say? Come on. The Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us just for what we need for today. Worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, God says, live with me in the present moment. And it's tough. I have struggles with that too, but that's God's will for us. And especially if it's salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow to repent. Behold, today and now is the acceptable time. Today is the acceptable hour. Today is the day of salvation. Come to him today. You don't know about tomorrow. So live in the present. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't this a great thing? Can you do that today? Can you walk with God today? Say, I'm just going to worry about January 4th, 2026. And I'll worry about the 5th. I'll plead the 5th. Tomorrow. Okay, so live in the present. Be free from your past. And how about your future? That's the third part. What right perspective does God want for us with that? Well, the answer is, you're free from your past, you're living in your present, but be joyfully looking forward to the future because God's got great things in store for us. God sets us free so that we run towards a goal. There is a goal at the end of the Christian life. It's not just a happy life here, but God has better things in this life too. Jeremiah 29, it says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That you have not bleak days. You don't have to fear the future like it's going to be worse and worse and worse. Even if it is tough and tough and tough, I'll be with you in it. You're going to know me better. And I do have plans to bless you. Okay? No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who fear him and those who hope in his steadfast love. So you have hope that God is already waiting over here in the future, saying, come on, come on, follow me, my children. I'm over here. Come, run to me, run to me. I've got good things for you. I'll catch you. I'll bear you on my pinions. I'll carry you on my feathers and wings. We'll go through it. Come on, keep coming forward. That's the purpose and the goal of the Christian, right? But it's not just for a better life here. We don't know exactly. Sometimes we got tribulations and big ones here. But we're really running forward to the ultimate goal, which is the kingdom of heaven, the world to come. That should be a focus in our hearts and minds that we want to think about. Paul says in Acts 26, now I stand here on trial for the hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which the 12 tribes hope to obtain it, namely, the resurrection of the dead. That's why Paul was able to go into prison and get beaten and flogged and shipwrecked and still run forward with joy. He's like, I'm going forward. I'm going somewhere. This is the great resurrection of the dead, the glory of the kingdom to come. Hebrews 11, God says, all the saints, they died in their faith, not having received what was promised in this life, but they were seeking a better country, a heavenly one. That's why God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God has prepared for you a city, friends, over the horizon, not too far away, in the future, a goal to which we are running forward with great joy into the future. It's bright. My goodness, friends, it's brighter than you could ever imagine. We read of our future. This is what our future is. There's going to be a holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from heaven out of God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. The city, our home, has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at each 12 angels. The wall is built of jasper, the city of pure gold, clear as glass. The 12 gates are 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. God has prepared for you a city. There is a hope, there is a future to which you are bound, which is great. The world and everybody that's in it, unbelievers, lives for this world a better future. We're living for the better future in the world after this world. The worlds to come to which we hope to obtain and we will attain through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice the whole Christian life is a race. You're running. Hooray! I'm going to get home. And when we cross the threshold of death and we enter it, we leap into our Father's arms, he holding us, and we rejoice with him forever. That's the goal of the Christian. It's a bright future. It's a hopeful future. It's every riches. power and glory and light and honor and blessing. And let's run with perseverance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of our faith, who's already gone before us to prepare us a place there. There is gold at the end of the rainbow. Okay. There is a victor's crown at the end of the war. There is a trophy at the end of the race. There is a kingdom at the end of this world and the start of the next. That's what we're running to, friends. Let's run towards it. And how do we get there and run into this future joyfully? Well, by Jesus, who has set us free from our past. Jesus did that. He is the great I Am with us in the present, and he is leading us and calling us forward with him into the future. Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, get us to the goal, get us into the kingdom, to the forever after of glory with him there. Tony Robbins, who is a motivational speaker, once said, "The people who dwell most on their past and their lives are the sad people. The people who dwell most on their present are the happy people. The people who dwell most on the future are the achieving people." How about us, though? We look to our past, we're happy, we're set free. We look to our present, we're happy, he's with us. We look to our future, he's happy, he's there, calling us forward, and we're going to have a joyful, happily ever after for him in the world to come. So, in conclusion then today, friends, when it comes to your past, let it go. Don't go back. Don't be haunted by it. Be free, God says. That's why I came, to be free you from your past, to live with you in the present, to enjoy you and you me, and that you might run into the future where I have a place prepared for you of everlasting, eternal glory, that you might attain to that city, Revelation 22, where there, in that city to which we're bound, there should be no more need of light. There should be no more night. We won't need the light of a lamp or of the sun, for the Lord God shall be their light, and we shall reign with him there forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "How Does God Want Us to Look at Our Past, Present, and Future?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministries, Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.